Let's open our Bibles in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to follow up with Ryan as he read for us. And then once he's done reading, I'm going to take a couple minutes to kind of elaborate on this verse. On the book of Ephesians, but really pick a couple verses in this book. Is this mic ready for me? For him? Yes, go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead. Chapter 1. Yep.
Praise God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been presented according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory.
That's good. Verse 21?
15?
Yeah, the whole chapter.
Oh, okay, my. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things together under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, buddy. That's good. Thank you. And then this is my prayer, verse 18. I'm going to pray this. It says, Paul says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded. Father, we thank you for your word, for the Bible. And even as we read it, you know, maybe some of us, we heard some things and maybe we didn't. But Lord, we trust the Holy Spirit to take from the Bible, from these scriptures, revelation that you want to reveal to us. We thank you that you love us so much that the Bible says your word is a lamp and light to our paths. We thank you that in you we find light. Lord, we thank you that, like it says in verse 18, our hearts will be flooded with light. Thank you that in you we find light and we can understand the confident hope that you've given us. In a world that needs so much hope, in a world that needs peace, let us be agent of hope, agent of peace. We love you, Father, and we love your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's my, you know, I tell you, when I say this is my prayer, it is really my heart and my prayer that you would fall in love with God's word. You won't survive without the word. You won't survive without, when I say without the word, you won't survive without knowing. You remember what I said last week? In all you getting, get what? Help me, Sandra. Get understanding, get wisdom. From everything we collecting, get understanding. You know, of course, I don't know, maybe if you haven't read the book of Ephesians, I say spend more time in it. If you read it already, read it again. Seriously. Just read it verse by verse. Take your time, and if you have questions, ask your cell leaders. No, you can call me too. You know? But if you, yeah, just spend time. We know the book of Ephesians was written by Paul between the year of 60 and 66. Now, I love the book of Ephesians because this is what it says here. It says the book of Ephesians is a complete body of divinity. In the first couple of chapters, we have the doctrines of the gospel. You know, there's one thing we talk about, the four pillars of the gospel. You remember, I don't know if you knew this. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about the four pillars of the gospel. For example, Acts chapter 2, verse 42-46, it says, the disciples, they dwell in the apostles' teaching. So they devoted themselves to the teaching. So when we, the primitive church, if we want, and I said, you know, one of our philosophy, we want to be like the primitive church because they did it according to the Holy Spirit. That's my heart. We're not here to play church. Jesus is coming back. And especially nowadays, if you're not doing it right, man, the world will eat you alive. They devoted themselves. Devoted. You go and look that word up. Devoted. What are you devoted? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer. There was something else. What was it? To the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship. To breaking bread. Was it breaking bread fellowship? Anyway, this is not my sermon. That's always a rabbit trail. Come back, Ricardo. Come back. Come back. Paul written the book of Ephesians when he was in prison. In prison. And if you study the... That's why, let me tell you this. Do not let anybody hold your past against you. Not even yourself. Give yourself grace. And I tell you, your mind, my mind, sometimes just hold my past, my sin against me. Because the enemy doesn't want us to approach. And one thing I love about the book of Ephesians, it helps, it teaches us about God's grace. For example, I like verse 7. It says, in him, in who? In Jesus, we have redemption. What redemption is? See, when you study the Bible, let me tell you this. When you read the Bible, when you read your Bible, you have a pen and a marker. And just don't rush. For example, just this little verse here, verse 7 in chapter 1, it says, in him, we know, Paul's talking about Jesus. In Jesus, we have redemption. Stop right there. Underline the word redemption. So maybe I don't know what redemption means. Well, then that's when your phone can be handy. That's right. It's good for something. Type the redemption definition. What does that mean to be redeemed? by his blood. Oh, it doesn't stop there. It says the forgiveness of our trespasses according to his riches of his grace. Nothing we can do to earn God's grace. Nothing we've done for God to give us grace. And there is nothing we can do for God to say, hey, you know what? My grace is not available for you. At least I have somebody that heard what I said. Okay, good. Please, you guys are my cheerleaders. There you go. Give me my amen. Amen. There you go. Give me my amen. Because you know, because you're alive. You're not dead. You're alive. Give me my amens, you know. That's right. Because we're being taught the word of God. I listen to our sermon, my sermon, and my messages. Sometimes I'm like, amen. Oh, Ricardo, that's funny. Oh, Ricardo, you can't do that. You can't say that. Bad pass. You know, when we study the New Testament, we realize a lot of, can you imagine if the Lord would allow each of the disciples to write an epistle? I mean, our Bibles would be this big. You know, half of the New Testament was written by Paul. And I love Paul because he's not afraid of his past. Because then, you know what it says in 2 Corinthians? It's like, if anyone is in Christ, you become a new creation. The old's gone. So the old Paul, as a matter of fact, his name was Saul. That's why when you encounter Jesus, you get a new identity, you get a new name. you get a new name. So don't go by your old name anymore. Do not live life by your old nature. Because that old nature is dead. So when the enemy come and face you to remind you your past, the first thing you can remind the enemy is what? That's right. Not only that, but you can tell the enemy, who are you talking about? This Saul? Can you imagine the enemy accusing Saul? Now, this Saul is dead. This Saul is dead. Because God changed not only his nature, but God changed his name. And he does the same thing to you and I. The book of Ephesians, I love, you know, I kind of look up some of the doctrinal theme of the book of Ephesians. And you realize the book of Ephesians is one of the book that was written. It was not written for a specific church, or it was not written to solve different issues in a church. The book of Ephesians was written to really express the doctrines of Christianity. For example, in the book of Ephesians, you'll find a clear explanation for God's plan for all people. God's plan for all people is, what's God's plan? Is that everybody would come to God. Everybody would come to know him. There's this verse again. I'm going to read it. It says, in him, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention by which he purposed. Now, Paul's talking about what God did through Jesus. And now this reminds me of a verse in Romans. It says, while we were yet sinners, God, you know what? God would still give Jesus for you and I. What did we do to merit God's grace? Nothing. Nothing you can do to make him love you more. And nothing that you've done will make him close the doors. Nothing. Nothing. And I tell you, the moment we get a revelation about this, it will empower you to live for Christ. You know, God's plan to unite all people. Now understand this, all people. Of course, Jesus came to his own did not receive him. You remember that story I told you about the the women that came to Jesus. Or even we can take the story about in John chapter 4, the women by the well. She was a Samaritan woman, right? And back then there was this big fight. I mean, there was a lot of racism going on back then. You remember even the disciples one time, they called Jesus. They said, "Lord, you know, the people of Samaria, should we order fire from heaven and burn that town?" I mean, the disciples, they were like us, you know. It's like, man, those whatever Samaritan, you know, they had a certain name for them. That's why when Jesus was talking about, you know, love the Lord, teaching the disciples to love God with all your heart. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your heart, right? I said that. And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then somebody asked, "Well, Lord, who is my neighbor?" And then he told them the story of the good Samaritan. Because normally, a Jew, if you walk by and you see a Samaritan, normally you would just ignore him, because you know what? It's like, it was a racism thing going on. It's like, you all know racism, but it's all people. Imagine when we go to heaven, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every color. That's why when you become to God, when you become a believer, that's what I want to say. When you become a believer, a kingdom-minded believer, and your mind is renewed. I mean, there's no place in your brain to be racist. Every tongue, every people, every tribe, the first thing God's going to do to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you self-identity. I mean, man, I'm so glad I'm black. I'm a black man. I am so proud to be a black man. God created me black. I love it. Brown, man, it's amazing. Man, we awesome. And I pray you can say the same about you as a colored person. What colored person? You are colored too. You know how stupid that is? So you're calling me a colored person? You know how dumb that is? Just think about it. We giving into it. So you don't have a color? I mean, you're neutral, right? You're vanilla. But God's plan is to unite all people. His sovereign plan is to unite all people. That's why when you study, when we get deeper in some of the other chapters, you will understand there's no white, there's no black, there's no women, there's no men. There's no slave, there's no free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I mean, just look at my body. My body functions as one. And as you continue to read the book of Ephesians, I want you to keep that doctrine in your mind. Up front, God's plan to unite every tribe, every people. And He did it with the Jews. He did it with the book of Acts. I mean, there's so many stories in the Bible. I'm thinking even in the book of Acts, after Jesus went to heaven, the Holy Spirit came, the church is growing. And some Pharisees who give their life to the Lord, and saw, what they call them, heathen, you know, like people of the other nation receiving Gentiles, yes. Saw the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongue. You know what the Pharisees who become believers, you know what they said? They said, "All right, one thing we can't deny is the Holy Spirit came on them, and they're, of course, praying in other tongues. But let's do this. Let's tell them, put a bunch of wolves on them. You know, don't eat that. Don't do this. Don't do." And then Peter's like, "Come on, brothers. We couldn't even follow the law. Why, you know, we couldn't even please God by following 613 laws. Why would you even think to put such burden over the Gentiles?" And once again, when you study the word, you realize it's human mind. You know, the human mind, we like to put rules on people. We like to put people in. That's why I love having the kids class. It's good. But, you know, the youth, young adults here, I want them here. I don't know if they, you know, I need, we don't have, so far we don't have youth ministry, which I'm praying that we would have somebody that would gather the handful of young people we have. But Sunday morning, I don't want them to go out there and be on their phone, you know. I mean, please, if you ever see that happening during the message, you see young people going back there or somewhere there having fun, they need to be here. There is no segregation in the kingdom. And that's, I keep saying, the kids, even when a child feels like, yeah, of course, if the child's screaming, yeah, take him out, kind of give him a little milk, whatever, you know, calm him down. But I don't mind the children here. I don't mind my nieces, you know, I don't mind that because we're family. This is family reunion. But if we're not careful, when we come together, we started to segregate, you know, young adults, which is fine. I think young adults should hang out with young adults. But you know how terrible it is for young adults to only hanging out with young adults. How about the older men? Like the Bible says to learn from the older men. How would I ever learn from an older man if I'm only hanging out with my 16-year-olds? And then we allow culture to tell us. Thank God for the Bible. You know, in the book of Ephesians, and I'm talking about the doctrine of Christianity, we see Paul put a lot of emphasis on salvation by grace through faith. So you are saved by grace through faith. I go back to what I said. Nothing you can do to make him love you more. Nothing. And some of us, we performers, especially if we grew up in a family where we felt like we had to perform. You know, I almost said no point, speaking Creole. But one thing that's just grieved my heart as a father is when you love your child so much and you love them, you would even die for them, seriously. And then you notice they're doubting your love for them. Right? I mean, you guys, if you had children in your life who just doubt your love for them, you're like, what are you talking about? I love you. I mean, I'll give everything for you. You know, parents, we're not perfect, especially on the first child. You know, the first child, they say, did not come with a manual, all right? So please, I mean, if you're firstborn, my first child's not here, but if you, I tell Priscilla, you know, it's like, we just had to learn from you. You know, so please forgive us. Because we just had to figure it out, you know, and in figuring out, we made mistakes. And thank God for the gospel, because we can learn and listen to our first child and acknowledge, well, Dad, you know, oh, Mom, this is what you did. This is how I perceived it. And then we can listen and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? And heal the relationship or better the relationship. You see, it grieves God's heart when we think as an orphan. There's nothing you can do to earn God's grace. Put that in your head. If you decide to get a tattoo, please, that would be a good one. I can't earn God's grace. Seriously. Or put that on your wall. Maybe I need somebody to paint that front there. You cannot earn God's grace. It's all by grace. Salvation comes by grace. And I love verse 2 where it says, grace, peace from God our Father. You see, sometimes we read this so fast. Think about it. The grace and the peace we need only comes from God. We've tried so many things. The grace and the peace we need only come from God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And this also reminds me of Philippians chapter 2. It says, set your mind on things above. Let's read this again. Blessed be to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Blessings from where? In heavenly places. Wow. So stop living with an earthly mindset. That's one of the reasons I love saying kingdom-minded. Kingdom greetings. It just gives me a kingdom perspective. Everything I do is like kingdom, you know. You're not just Americans, Puerto Ricans, you know, Jamaicans, Africans. Come on, help me out. Haitians, Guyanians. We have all those here. Germans, some of you are Italians, you know. No. Since we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we are citizens of the kingdom. There's another doctrine. The church is Christ's body. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the pastor of the church. Listen to what it says. It says, verse 22, it says, he put all things together in submission, and under his feet. And he gave him a head over all things to the church. Verse 23, the church, which is his body. So Jesus is the head of the church. That's why I tell you, you need to follow Jesus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. You got it. From Monday to Monday. The whole week. January back to January. All your life. Jesus is the head of the church. That's why if we're following Jesus, the church will be right. That's why I keep saying here at Restoration Church, we have no other agenda. Jesus is the king here. He is the pastor here. If you're following him, you will live a holy life. You cannot be riding the line. You're either in or you're out. You can be in church and in sin at the same time. That's the doctrine. As you continue to read, I'm like, wow. And of course, he's going to talk about how a body functions as one. Spiritual growth, the doctrine of spiritual growth, holy living, urging us to put off our old humanity, the flesh. And this reminds me, when I read the book of Ephesians, it reminds me of Galatians. It says, live according to the Spirit so you don't accomplish the desire of the flesh. We have a debt. It's not the flesh. It's the spirit. I mean, talking about forgiveness, God forgive us, and therefore, we must forgive others. So salvation by grace, the church as one, and then a new life in Christ. I love that, because chapter 2, chapter 3, gonna talk about the way a Christian should live. Oh, I love chapter 6. It talks about the spiritual warfare. Let me tell you this. You are in a fight. If you truly decide, if you have decided to follow Jesus, if you have decided to follow Jesus, if you have decided to follow Jesus, you're in a fight. You're in a war. And that war is not against flesh and blood. It is against the principalities. It is against the demon, the forces of darkness. Now, if you have decided to follow Jesus, decided, make a decision. I'm going to be salt. I'm going to be light. You're in a war. But thank God, because I've already been a conqueror. You see, this fight I'm in, it's not like I'm a defeater. No. Defeater? Is that the word? Defeated. Yeah. I'm not defeated. I am a conqueror. I'm still learning English. Thank you for your being patient with me. You know? And then, of course, verse 18, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. You know the hope of his calling? You know God calls you. I love what Katrina said. Whether if each of us would choose a picture to put on that screen, you all can show something up. You see, you don't have to go to Sierra Leone in Africa to say yes to God. Today, right now, right here, as you're listening to me, looking at me, you can say yes to God. Stop resisting him. What is he asking you to do? Is he calling you up? Because he will always call you up. Is he asking you to total surrender? As a matter of fact, there's no way we can encounter the fullness of Christ without being totally surrendered to him. We must surrender to him. I surrender to him. Would you pray this with me? Lord, I surrender to you. Come on, let's say that again with the sincerity of your heart. Jesus, I surrender to you. Because when we do, we understand the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That is what, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Oh. And let me finish with this. Three things I talked about last week. I talked about getting wisdom. No, getting understanding and knowledge. And therefore you become wise. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. Is knowing what you must do. You do it. Wisdom is knowing what I must not do. And I don't do it. I touched on this verse in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. This verse, underlined it in your Bible. And I want you to picture your house. Your house, literally, your house where you live. It says, by wisdom a house is built. So just think about it. Who would want to, I mean, we see in the Outer Banks, they build houses really close to the water. But we've seen what they do, right? I mean, if you're picturing with me in your mind, you know they put them houses on stilts. Tall, 15, 20 maybe, 18 feet up. Put them on stilts. But then what happened? You see, water is a power. And we all know the best place to build a house is on rock. Solid rock. That's the best place. And when we studied the Bible, who is our solid rock? Jesus. Help me out. Who is?
Jesus.
But no, man, I just love the ocean. Do you know what it's like, man? You go on vacation, you go to the Caribbean Ocean. I wish I could take all of you. That's one of my problem right now because I'm looking at my, I have this picture in my mind, man. My house is like about 2-3 miles from the Caribbean Ocean. But I have neighbors who goes and build by the beach. And when the raging seas comes, I mean, God have mercy, man. Sometimes, you know, they lose their house. But there's nothing like being up in the mountain where the rocks is. So it says, by wisdom, gain wisdom. By wisdom is a house is built. So therefore, I don't know, I like beach. I like to go there. I like to see the view, the coconut tree. I remember the first time I go to the beach, I went to the beach in Florida. I'm like, that's a beach? Where are the coconut trees? You know, there's no shade. There's like, you know, it's like the beach is like, what? I had to retrain my mind to look at the beach. Where's the crystal turquoise blue water? I mean, I give you all this example to put something in your mind. How do you want to build your life? On what ground do you want to build relationships, your future, your marriage? If you're not married, your future husband, your future wife. How would you want to build? So by wisdom, a house is built. So therefore, I know I want to build a house that lasts. You know, when we were growing up, I'm 48. Oh, almost 49. Coming up. When I was growing up, I never knew anything about an earthquake. Because where we lived in Port-au-Prince, we had Category 4, Category 5 hurricane. But we were surrounded by mountains. As a matter of fact, we actually, in our section, we really enjoyed when there is a hurricane. Because the mountain would surround us. And we would have like 4, 5, 6 days of cooler weather. Of course, we'd had floods and stuff. So we build our houses for Category 4, Category 5 hurricane. Meaning, we didn't really invest much in the foundation. I know, because we did, you just did. See, knowledge is power. And then why did over 300,000 people died on January 12, 2010. Over 300,000 people died because there is a Category 7 earthquake that happened in the capital. Because the government didn't do their part. There wasn't any education about earthquakes. I'm telling you, I grew up in Haiti, I never heard about earthquake. But our last earthquake was in the 1800s. Why didn't they ever talk about that? So then, bam, there was an earthquake. People lost their livelihood. Many lives were lost because of a lack of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied. And I believe more than ever, you as God's people, you need to live as wise people. Everything you do, ask yourself, what is the word is saying here? Gain knowledge above what it says. In all you getting, get understanding. Because when you get understanding, you become wise. You know what to do, when to do it. You know what not to do, when you shouldn't do it. And then what happened to the rest of the verse? It says, by wisdom a house is built, and then by understanding it is established. And you know, if I can get Dave to talk, Dave, I want to get you to talk, but Dave is a builder. But Dave knew exactly what I'm talking about. When you build a house, you study the foundation, you know, right, Dave? And it's like, man, that house has got to build to last. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And one thing I like about this in the chapter of Ephesians when it talks about wisdom, it talks about every time you look these three words in the Bible, they always go together. As you read Even Proverbs, you know, Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 29, you know, it talks about wisdom. It always goes with understanding and knowledge. So I encourage you guys, keep reading the book of Ephesians. And then next week we'll continue with chapter 2. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we submit to your word again today. We thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts. We trust you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, God's people said,